Blog Talk Radio.
Who will stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Stand against our King. No one can. No one will. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, oh, oh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am Manny, your dear brother in Christ, and I am so happy that you decided to tune in today, whether you're tuning in live or whether you're listening to the recording later. God bless you. I hope that this message tonight reaches you prosperous in great, amazing health, prospering surely as your soul prospers. Amen. Tonight is Tuesday night, and like every Tuesday night that we come on and do a broadcast here at God's Word to Man, it is an opportunity for you, the listeners, to call in with any questions, concerns, prayer requests. The number to do that is 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. And, of course, I'm never alone. I'm going to bring my brother on right now. He's the pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis, Pastor Joseph Murphy Senior. God bless you, Rev. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed, Brother Manny. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I feel great, feel wonderful, and I'm always happy to be on the broadcast with you, sharing the Lord's message with the people.
Amen.
With our brothers and sisters, it's always a pleasure to come on Tuesday nights. So I want to go ahead and get started. Tonight's topic, how hungry are you? And I'll say, how hungry are you? Tonight's message, scripture, will be coming from the book of Matthew, 11th chapter, 12th verse. So if you want to find your Bibles, pull up your Bible app on your phone or other mobile device. We're going to be, I'm sure Rev is going to be moving around the different scriptures, but that is our scripture we'll be coming from Matthew 11, chapter 12, verse. Before we get started, we'll say a word of prayer. I'll go ahead and open us up. Amen. Great God, Jehovah, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we come boldly before your throne of grace, entering your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, thanking you for another day, another opportunity, thanking you for this platform called Blog Talk Radio, where we can come over the airways and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Master and King. We thank you for this opportunity. We don't take it lightly, nor do we take it for granted, but we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through us, overshadow us, take control of the airways, that this message will reach the homes, the ears, the hearts, and minds of the people who may listen. May they be blessed and encouraged and uplifted. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Rev, go ahead. You can take over.
Amen. I'm going to read the scripture from the New Living Translation. And it says, Matthew 11, chapter verse 12 says, "And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it." And the word of God is already blessed. And so oftentimes we have heard this scripture, and I believe in the King James, it says, "Heaven suffereth violence, and the violence taketh by force." And so there are those just from that reading that have been under the understanding or have thought to themselves, I shouldn't say been under the understanding, but have thought, does this mean that someone's laying siege on heaven? Is heaven really under attack? And so it really requires studying this particular text from a place of breaking down what some of these words actually mean, and when you come to the conclusion of exegeting this particular verse, you end up understanding what this scripture is really talking about is the pursuit of individuals after the preaching and teachings of John the Baptist that are bringing about a relationship with Jesus that is so beneficial that they understand that perspective, and they're just extremely hungry for it. And so that's kind of why I kind of drew as a means of a title from this text, "How Hungry Are We?" Because in this particular text, we find that those who were following John the Baptist, the forerunner for Jesus Christ, that these people were really hungry for a relationship with God, with the Lord, through Jesus Christ. These people were really, tuned in to the teaching and preaching of John the Baptist. And I just believe that this is a season for the body of Christ overall to be in deep pursuit of a relationship of God, and the vehicle, one of the vehicles they must use to attain that is the taught word of God, the preached word of God, and not just show up any kind of way, but show up with an expectation that they're going to hear something that's going to transform their lives. I was recording a sermon, and in the sermon I was making reference to the fact that people should truthfully during the message is when we should find the time where people are most excited and necessarily shouting and praising God while the message is being taught and preached. But by habit and church tradition, a lot of people wait till the end where there's hooping and tuning and all of that, and that's what excites them. But the truth of the matter, Brother Manny, the hooping and tuning isn't transformational. It's the Word of God that is going to transform our lives. And so that's the thing we ought to be excited about. And when we hear the Word of God taught, when we hear the Word of God preached, there should be a noticeable fervor that goes on. There should be a noticeable fire that is burning on the inside of the people who are hearing this transforming message. And so as I began to study this text, you know, this is just what I began to discover about Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. The first thing I want to point out, or even want to ask, is what is our level of desperation? You know, how desperate are we when we show up to church, Brother Manny? You know, mm-hmm. as it pertains to living in salvation and all that a relationship with Jesus has to offer, how excited are we? How desperate are we? You know, are we eager to hear the word when we show up to church? And if we're not, Manny, why not? You've been in church. Mm-hmm. You've been in church. I don't know your experience because we've never attended the same church at the same time, but I know my church experience, and please follow me, share yours, but I know my church experience. I haven't always, there are people almost always at every service, there are some people who are not going to get excited no matter what happens. If the pastor mm-hmm. set himself on fire, you know what I'm saying?
No spiritual pulse.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's been your experience, but, you know, it's like I get that we go through things in life. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want nobody to say I'm being insensitive and you know, people are always dealing with this or they're dealing with that. But, Manny, it's the Word of God that can deliver us from every situation. And you would think, and I can just hear somebody saying now, well, it was all I could do to drag myself to church. Thank you. I'm glad you drug yourself to church. But if you're not going to drag yourself to church and have an expectation of receiving something when you get to church, I don't know. You might want to consider, you know, staying at home, because it is those who show up with an expectation that will leave with something that can bring about transformation in their lives. Did you want to chime in real quick before I move to my next point, Manny?
Yeah, no, I mean, you are definitely, you know, making a very valid point as far as, you know, the desire of the people of God. I remember growing up, and I've all, you know, we've been in church our whole lives, and I remember growing up with the old mothers and the brothers and how church used to be. And in fact, I was just speaking with my aunt about the standard that has been lost. Mm-hmm. I think at the time, I mean, or at least so many people were anticipating something catastrophic happening before the year 2000 came in. And so a lot of churches and a lot of people were so-called getting their lives in order to meet this supposed end that everybody thought was coming. They called it Y2K, and many of you may remember the Y2K sort of frenzy that was happening around that time. And so maybe 10, 15, 20 years prior to that, leading up to Y2K, you had the churches packed on Sundays. You had people attending church Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, choir practice, Bible study, and people were so fervent. People were so serious about trying to serve the Lord and stay right, living a life of holiness. And so I remember those old mothers, and I remember those church services were power-packed. The Spirit of God would move, you know, throughout the service, and people would fall out in the Spirit. People were getting healed and delivered of things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in that between 2000 and 2010 range, you started seeing a decline in church attendance. You started seeing a lot of the matriarchs and patriarchs, all the brothers and sisters that were older, they started transitioning to glory. And it wasn't replaced with a lot of younger people, younger Christians who had that same drive and fervor. And so that's kind of what you're seeing now. When you talk about how hungry you are, there isn't a sense of urgency. Like you said, that desperation, unless people are encountering things like tragedy or sickness and disease or, you know, something that's really tormenting them. And then you may see a push to get themselves right or attend church or serve God like that. But unless that's happening, you just don't see the same, you know, like you said, desperation. But I'll leave it there for your second point. But I concur with the point you made.
The Bible says, and from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. You know, the word of God has been going forth. And I reject this notion that we have to compromise the word of God for the culture, because we don't have to compromise the word of God for the culture. What we have to do is make sure we're preaching Jesus and him crucified and resurrected, and that we're doing it in such a way that the culture is transformed to look like God, and not the church being transformed, being conformed to look like the world. And so, and you touched on something that I want to kind of hit on before I move on. You know, you were talking about how people, when they come to church, I forgot just that fast. Holy Spirit, bring it back to my remembrance. But I'll move on until I remember. So my next point was, do we really understand the necessity of receiving the word of God? And see, I think we don't have expectation, because first and foremost, we don't know the word. This generation does not know the word of God. And quite frankly, it's because of also the life that they're seeing from people who attend church seemingly not to be different from their life. So in their mind, why would I join church to act like I'm already acting? To look like I'm already looking. There's no distinction, almost, in some cases, right? And so we have to understand, and this is not just simply a cliche, the word of God gives life. It is life-giving. That's why we need to understand the necessity of receiving the word, because it gives us life. And I'm not just talking about eternal life, because it does give us eternal life. But Brother Matty, it brings about a life inside of us that comes alive with a desire to be pleasing in the sight of God, and that's what we have to desire. That's what we have to be pursuing and seeking, and that's what we have to be showing up as a way of expectation. God, I've been dealing with ABC. And I'm tired of dealing with it. I understand that through your word that these things can change in my life. And see, this is what these people understood. They understood that what John the Baptist was teaching, what John the Baptist was preaching, it was going to change their life. It was going to transform their life. And watch this. they had the humility to understand that their lives needed to be changed.
True.
And they had
Amen.
The wisdom, and they had the wisdom, watch this, to understand that what John the Baptist was teaching and preaching was the only way they were going to get it. See, nowadays, Brother Matty, everybody's believing there's all kind of ways you can get it. You got people out here who put more stock in the life coaches than they do the Word of God, who put more stock in the self-help books than they do the Word of God. You know,
mm-hmm.
this whole notion that I can think it and manifest it, or I can say it enough times and manifest it. No, the Word of God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. In fact, he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so when it comes, so when we understand, I need that Word of God because it gives life, not just eternal life. And the Word of God has power. It gives
mm-hmm.
me power over the enemy. The
That's
Word of God heals. It delivers. And I just wonder how many of us are showing up to church with that level of understanding that I'm not just here thinking that my church attendance is something that's going to sway God into stepping into my situation, versus understanding God is trying to speak to you through the preached and taught word of God. You ask God for something. Many times when you go to church, you'll find your answer if you show up with expectation and if you show up with a listening ear. And you will hear what God has to say about your situation. But Maddie, when your heart ain't right, when your mind ain't right, you'll go to church and you'll come back home and say that was a waste of time. Not understanding that when the word is going forth, it can never be a waste of time, because God said his word cannot return to him void. It has to do what he assigned it to do.
Amen.
So if the problem is not with the word, Brother Manny, then the problem must be with our expectation. The problem must be with our hunger. Am I really hungry? And sometimes we are hungry, but then what are we hungry for? Did I show up just to be entertained? Because we have changed the church into a nightclub. It's all dark, lights everywhere, strobe lights everywhere. It's super dark in there, you know. We've done some of everything in hopes to luring people in and not understanding that the Word of God has to trump all of that. I'm not trying to knock nobody for how they got their church set up. If you like it, I love it. But it should not trump the Word of God. But by the same token, people have to show up hungry. Oftentimes, when people's lives haven't changed, they want to blame it on the pastor. And I just can't get with the pastor. He don't do it for me. And then we could go to another ministry, or we'll go someplace. It's a prophet in town. It's an apostle in town. It's an evangelist in town. And we'll go there, and we'll want to run and hear what they got to say. And then oftentimes we're not honest, but we run into them saying the same thing that the pastor was saying, but we ain't going to tell nobody that. You know, the pastor said the same thing, but we ain't going to tell nobody that, because why? We don't want to admit that the pastor wasn't the problem. It was our level of adhering to what the pastor was saying. And so we must understand the necessity of receiving the Word of God, because like I said, it gives us life. It gives us hope. Man, things ain't going to always be like this. I mean, can you just imagine, Manny, even if you showed up to church, you know, down, But in your heart, I'm believing God's going to say something to me today. And you get there, and he does speak through the word of God. How now, man? I'm just so excited. I'm just so on fire because God has spoken to me, and he told me my situation is going to be all right. But somewhere on the inside of us, we got to be hungry to hear it. We got to be excited to hear it. As we pursue Jesus, we must do so with an urgency that is evident through our actions, not just our conversation. In other words, we must have a hunger and a thirst for a relationship with God, not simply a religion that talks about God. Do you know how many people out here, Maddie, will tell you that they believe in God? And they tell you with conviction, oh, I believe in God. Now, I don't know about this Jesus y'all talking about. How can you say believe in God, but you don't believe in the Son of Jesus?
Amen.
And oftentimes, it's somebody who's either part of one of these false religions, or it's somebody who thinks they're so intellectual and beyond the Bible that they want to tell you and try to convince you that you don't believe what you believe, or you shouldn't believe what you believe. But the one thing I can give those people credit for, at least they're committed to what they do believe. How many of us are committed to what we believe? And we know we're committed when we began to develop that relationship. And we know we're developing that relationship when we're hungry for his word. Murph, the analogy that they're using is almost like people are trying to take over the kingdom of heaven. They're so excited and fired up to have this relationship. They almost laying seeds to the kingdom of heaven, Murph. Like they go,
amen.
Take off. I'm gonna get me a piece of heaven. I'm not lollygagging. I understand there is a real need for me to be in relationship with this man named Jesus John is talking about. When was the last time we admitted to ourselves that we had a real need for this Jesus?
Amen.
You know, how many of us are on fire for the Lord? And if we're not, the question has to be, why not? And if we were to be honest, transparent, it has more to do with us and less to do with him. Because guess what, Manny? God's promises hasn't changed. His Bible hasn't changed. The word hasn't changed. God does not change. So the problem can't be with God. The problem can't be with the kingdom of heaven that is alive right now on earth. So we got to look in the mirror, and we must understand that there's something that's dulling our senses to pursuing the preached and taught word of God. And we need to figure it out, and we need to figure it out in a hurry, because it is what's going to transform our lives. Why would in the Beatitudes, why would he say, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled? Manny, it's like a cheat code in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling you what to do. He's telling you how you can achieve, how you can be victorious. He's telling you. He didn't say you. It's a possibility you'll be filled. You know, it's a 50-50 shot that you'll be filled. No, he said if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the things that are right, after the things that are right in the sight of God, after a relationship with God, he said, then you shall be filled. You shall be victorious. And it's sad because some of us in the body of Christ still are walking around and don't understand why we're not victorious. And it has nothing to do with God and everything to do with us. These people were excited. If they could have taken a caravan to the third heaven, I'm sure they would have. We're here, God. We up in here. But the closest thing to that was running down John the Baptist and pursuing him. Tell us more about this Jesus. Tell us more about this one who you say you're not worthy to unlatch his shoes. Tell us more about this Jesus. But what was the last time we asked God, whether it was in a church setting or a private setting, tell me more? When was the last time we was hungry for the word of God, Manny? Let's see, where was I? We must not only have an urgency that's evident in our actions, but we have to have an attitude of not settling for anything less than a transformative encounter with the Lord. When we're at home, when we're at church, it doesn't matter, man. You ain't got to be at the church house, but even in your own house, are you pursuing God until he moves some sort of way that transforms your life? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you just doing the basics? And again, I'm not trying to talk about anybody. I really am trying to give us information to help us be better, to help us understand. Because, Manny, it is in the lack of understanding that we err, that we sin, that we give in to our proclivities because we don't understand, well, why isn't God answering my prayer or why isn't God manifesting what I ask? Well, it may have something to do with the fact that you're not hungry enough. It may have something to do that with you don't know his word, and so therefore you're saying things that are counterproductive to God bringing about victory in your life. And so the question I want to ask, how many times have we pursued God in a relentless manner? And that's not something I want people to answer out loud, but you need to ask yourself that question. When was the last time I relentlessly pursued God? Well, what does that mean, Pastor? You know what relentless is for you. Manny, we can binge watch our favorite program. When was the last time we binge watched anything that was Christian-based? When was the last time we sat down for hours and listened to the Bible? You can't say it ain't no avenues to listen to it. There are plenty of avenues to listen to the Bible, even if you wasn't reading it, but you can listen to it. But when was the last time you sat down and listened to some good old-fashioned preaching? When was the last time you just sat still in the face of God, laid prostrate? When was the last time you did any of that on a consistent basis? The last time you fasted consistently? Those are the things that show that we're hungry and we're thirsty for God. Those are the things that show that we're forcefully or violently pursuing God. I get this picture, Manny, of us knocking on heaven's door. Let us in. We want to know. Not just let us in so we can be in heaven. We want to know you in a way we've never known you. We're not leaving until we know you. When was the last time we had a Jacob experience, Manny? When was the last time we pursued God and we said, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me?
Amen.
These people, listen, they had a Jacob spirit. No. No, we're not. We're going to pursue until we get an answer. When was the last time we pursued till we got an answer, man? Or did we just fall asleep? Or did we just give up? Or did we just throw up our hands and say, this God thing ain't working for me? I ain't talking about no new convert either. Essentially, every time we're disobedient, that's what we're saying. I'm not going to wait on God. I'm not going to do it his way. I know he know it all, but I'm tired of waiting. It really is an indication of our lack of trust in God. And so we can say we trust him all we want, but what does our behavior suggest? Am I making a little bit of sense tonight, man?
100%. 100%.
You can't sit.
I mean.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, the word is clear. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is it talking about how the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yeah.
It's the GPS of our life.
Yeah.
It's the compass.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many things.
Mm-hmm.
It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
It divides a lot of stuff. See, the word of God, see, I believe a lot of people don't know out of ignorance because it's just, you know, they just don't know. I think a lot of people mm-hmm. choose not to know because that word cut deep, divides soul
mm-hmm.
and spirit, bone and marrow.
Yeah.
If you really study in the word of God, if you truly are reading God's word and living by his word,
yeah,
it cuts deep into your flesh.
Yeah.
It won't allow certain things. It won't give you allowance for certain sin, certain things,
yeah,
for sin, for sin, period. It's not going to give any allowance for any of that. And that's what we want. If we're being honest, mm-hmm. we want to be able to live the life we want to live. You know, that just happens to be the blessing. And it happens to also be, in many people's eyes, that's what's wrong with free will, right?
Yeah.
You have free will
yeah.
to sin, but you also have free will not to sin.
Yeah.
You said that on many of occasions.
Yeah.
And I think
mm-hmm.
what the scripture here is saying, like you said, who is radical enough to just trust God's word?
Yeah.
Who is absolutely crazy enough to just say, I'm going to live my life by God's word?
Yeah.
You know why people followed John and then eventually they followed Jesus? Because they was preaching the same thing.
Yeah.
What were they preaching, Manny? They were preaching kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
John said, change the way you think, repent of your sins, and be baptized, for the kingdom is coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus said, repent, turn from your wicked ways, because the kingdom is here and it's available to you.
Yeah.
And when we don't seek the kingdom and its right, what is the kingdom? The Bible said the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is not meat or drink.
Yeah.
But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's violent, because you won't let, you won't allow anybody to stop you. Once you get a hold of that kingdom, you won't let nothing get in your way.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Let nobody stop you. Let come what may, let go what will.
Yeah.
You won't care about what people saying about you. You won't care what happens. You're going to trust God. It's the same conversation my siblings and I just had with a couple of my siblings when we talked about this world's government and how people are worried about who's going to be the next president. And I made the comment, when you press into kingdom, you don't have to worry about who's going to be the president.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you not to vote. God forbid. You're well within your right to vote for whoever you want to vote for. But when you are in kingdom, when you have kingdom mindset, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, which then qualify you for what? Kingdom access. Now you don't have to worry about the political climate, the financial climate. You don't have to worry about those things because you are part of a different kingdom. And when you finally realize and you start experiencing the benefits of being in kingdom alignment with God's, and you use God's word to bring you into alignment with kingdom, you'll do anything to stay there. You won't care. You won't care. Go ahead, Pastor.
That's good. No, I can hear somebody saying, well, that Jesus did miracles. You know what I'm saying? There was power there available when Jesus and John was doing what they were doing. But guess what? If we show up with the same level of expectation, there'll be power there for us too. There'll be
miracles
too. The Bible said that signs and wonders shall follow them. Now, watch this. It didn't say only in the Bible days.
Come on.
And so the same power that was available to them back then, Old Testament, New Testament, and Now Testament. So that ain't no excuse. The difference is not Jesus or John. The difference is the people that pursued Jesus and the people that pursued John had a level of expectation that then lit itself through manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
They was not going to take no for an answer. Yeah. And they truly believed. They had faith. You said Jesus coming to town? It's a whole man that can't even see, but he can hear Jesus coming to town. Oh, he is? Well, I'm going to put myself in between Jesus and wherever he's going, and when I hear him or even hear the commotion, guess what? I'm going to start yelling his name.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the church folks told him to be quiet, he said, I ain't going to be quiet. I know what I need. Why? Because he was taking it by force.
Yeah. He didn't care.
I'm not leaving here without my sight. knowing that I was in the presence of the sight giver?
Come on.
So can we show up with that kind of attitude, with that kind of energy, as they say these days?
Mm-hmm.
Can we show up with that?
Amen.
Or are we just coming so we don't have to hear the pastor's mouth? Are we just coming because we don't want to hear our parents' mouth or whoever? Because whatever you're coming for, that's what you're going to get. If you ain't coming for an experience or an encounter or to be transformed, then you ain't going to get it. Because you ain't show up for it anyway. You might as well stay at home. But if you really want to be transformed, you got to believe it's going to happen. And I'm telling you, man, these people understood what it was. Man, John is down there baptizing people, down there talking about the Savior's coming. It started with them believing it. And that belief turned into an expectation. And that expectation drove them to, man, come on, that woman with the issue of blood, she went out there in that crowd risking her life. Why? And what did Jesus say? Your faith made you whole. Your expectation made you whole. If I can touch the hem of his garment, but why should she have care? She was going to die either way, whether they stoned her or she bled to death. So she said, I'm going to pursue the one person who I know can give me life. But how many of us show up with that expectation? How many of us show up, I'm going to pursue the one who can do the impossible? We always talk about, I need God to do a miracle. Well, you come to the right person. You came to the right deity. He hear and he can see. He's not some idol carved out of wood or stone or whatever. When was the last time we were excited to hear the word of God or see the manifestation of his power? Are we pressing in? Are we putting a demand on heaven with our worship, with our praise? Is our energy echoing desperation? Are we in church just sitting there where everybody else is having an experience and an encounter? I don't feel like it today. How do you know today wasn't your day of breakthrough? How do you know today wasn't your day of miracle? How do you know that God wouldn't have honored the fact that he knows you don't feel like it in your body, but you did it anyway? You don't think that would move the heart of God? That woman had to not been feeling very good and not been very strong, Manny. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She had to have been weak. People don't talk about that part of it enough. To even go out there was difficult for her, not even from a cultural standpoint. Listen, she's been bleeding for the last 12 years. You ain't going to tell me that woman wasn't weak. But she walked and found Jesus. It didn't take no for an answer. Didn't let the crowd.
He wasn't going to be denied.
Murph, how many of us would have looked at the crowd and been like, well, it wasn't meant to be?
Yeah.
Sometimes we got to see things
for
Ishmael and not Isaac, huh?
How about, much wasn't God's will.
Right. When Zacchaeus came out, didn't want to see Jesus, saw the crowd, he could have went back his eyes for the climb up in no tree. I'm the chief tax collector. We don't be up in no tree.
Okay.
But he understood. He like, no, I need to be changed. And whatever it takes is what I'm going to do. And that's the kind of expectation and demand we got to put on the Lord, man. You know, I believe this, Brother Manny, that God honors relentless pursuit of him. And when we relentlessly pursue God and the kingdom, all that it represents, Manny, I'm telling you, we're going to be victorious. We'll be able to receive the promises of God. But we have to posture our heart for the will of God. And God wants to be pursued. He wants us to come after him with all we. He is our Abba, our Daddy God. And he is poised and ready for his covenant with us, man. And he wants to fulfill the conditions that are in the covenant. But we have to do our part. God is not mocked. You cannot slick God into blessing you. You can't slick him into blessing you. You can't trick him into blessing you. You can't halfway do your part and then think he's going to be like, oh, well, you know, you halfway did your part, so I'll give you credit. No. When we relentlessly pursue, he will yield forth the manifestation of what we've been pursuing. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the B part says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him or who relentlessly pursue him. Manny, God is bound by his word. He can't do nothing different, man. If we relentlessly pursue him, he has to reward us. He can't do nothing different. He can't keep moving the field goal post like we do sometimes. He can't change his mind. He can't bait and switch us, Manny. If we relentlessly pursue, he rewards us. It is just that simple. And I challenge all of our listeners and myself to take this next week to relentlessly pursue God. Pursue him harder than you ever pursued him before. And see, don't he keep his word? Don't we know, man, that he's bound by his word?
Amen.
If God said it, he has to do it. So these people in this text, they about to riot because they pursue it. They want and need. Well, Bartimaeus, Jesus, be quiet, man. I ain't be quiet nothing. You can see, I can't see. I want to be able to see like you. I won't be quiet.
Okay.
We can't let the devil silence us because life has happened to us. God never promised us everything would be easy. But he did promise he would be with us through whatever we go through. And he will be a very present help in those times. But we have bought into the lie of the devil. As soon as we get in a little bit of a bind or a situation, I ain't going to church. Well, why are you going to church? I don't feel like it. Who you hurting? The devil wants you to run right away from God. Because what the devil knows better than you is that if you hang close enough to God, you'll get your answer. If you pursue God, you'll get your answer. So he can't have you pursuing God. Some of us need to take our Bibles off the shelf and open it up and read it and study it and watch our lives change as we relentlessly pursue God. Because guess what? The Word of God will change and transform our lives. It has been ordered to do that. It's on assignment, and it has to do what it's been assigned to do. And so the last thing I want to tell people is, whatever it is you're dealing with, get into the Word of God, because the Word of God has an answer for whatever it is we're dealing with. But you got to get into the Word of God and start declaring it over your life and believe God for it, no matter how long it takes. Because you're not dealing with a God who allows things to expire, because he's not bound by time. And God always has a plan, even when it seems like things are not going the way that you prayed for them to go. Guess what? God still has an answer and a way of escape for us. And since he said it, he has to bring it to pass, Manny. Unless we put our mouth on it, then we would have disqualified ourselves. God didn't forget about us. God didn't throw us to the wolves. We just let the devil allow us to put our own mouth to ruin our own situation for us. And we got to ask ourselves, how hungry am I? Do I really want to be transformed? Is this really just about things? Or do I want my life? Do I want to live my life in pursuit of always pleasing God, which will mean I got to learn how to be a blessing to other people. I can't always be so caught up in myself, me. Let me intercede for somebody else. Somebody else is going through, or somebody else out there has it worse than I have it. But, man, the best thing we can do for any and everybody is to give them the unadulterated Word of God. You might be going through whatever it is you're going through, but my God can change any situation. But will you trust him? Beyond what you see, will you trust God? These people understood. Jesus had a reputation. John had a reputation. They didn't just blindly follow John. There was an anointing on John that was evident to the people. There was power that John walked in that was evident to the people. And obviously it was on Jesus. And guess what? God is trying to give it to us. That's all I have, Brother Manny.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that, Pastor. That was a great message. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us again tonight. I want to say that we will be on live Facebook on the Caring Church of Memphis Facebook page on Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for Transformation Thursday, hopefully, and it's our prayer that many of you who are listening will be able to join us there as well. And so for myself and Pastor Murphy, I'd like to just thank each and every one of you. May God bless you and keep you and your family and protect you is my prayer. Amen. Pastor?
Never forget, people of God. God cares, and so does the Caring Church. Be blessed, everybody.
will stand against our King. No one can. No one.